Hey, everybody. I am C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom Tittin' Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom Tittin' Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, can you believe we haven't even been home a week? It feels like the longest week ever.
It really does, which makes it fitting that I've been thinking a lot about long words this week.
Long words? You mean like Lefferenavdorogugrich, that longest place name?
Yeah, we're not even going to try to say that again. Folks, if you don't know what Lanfarpulgibda, I'm not going to try to say it either, is, and we're totally not making fun of this name. We just cannot say it.
Well, we can make fun of it a little bit. They've made it up.
It's true. I think they meant for it to be made fun of a little.
Yes.
You can go back and listen to last week's episode. It's a town that we visited in Wales that we thought held the record for the longest place name.
Wait, we thought that it held the record? It doesn't?
We did. But I somehow stumbled upon the fact this week that that honor goes to a town in New Zealand that has 85 letters. The Wales place name has 58. And sometimes this name has 105 letters. Apparently there are two ways to spell it.
Sometimes there's Y.
Yes. And it is, I don't even know whether I should try to pronounce it. It's Tomato Wakadaganagaka. That's, I can't.
There's no way. Yeah. 85 really to 105 long letters of,
yes,
a word.
And
wow.
It's named after a legendary Maori explorer and translates to, quote, "the summit where Tamatea, the man with the big knees, the slider, climber of mountains, the land swallower who traveled about, played his nose flute to his loved one."
I like a good nose flute.
Yeah.
I think we got to go. Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll have to go there on our next trip because it also, like the town in Wales, is apparently a really popular tourist spot because of the name.
So I think what you're saying is that if you want people to come to things, you have to give them really long names, right?
Yeah.
So should we rename the podcast?
I think we should. I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking maybe something like Tom Tit Bomb It, Banana Fan of Fun Bit, Me by Bomb It, Tom Tit.
Tantara, no, tantara, 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 tantara.
Ooh, it could just be like a long string of animal noises. Mooba. Again, we are not making fun of anyone's linguistic culture.
We're not.
We just like the idea of having a really long name.
And animal sounds. We like animal sounds. Yeah.
We're making fun of ourselves. But, you know, I posted on Facebook this week asking about the longest word ever to appear in the Bee. And I haven't gotten a definitive answer yet. Somebody said abracadabra, which is 11 letters. And somebody else brought up mollycoddled.
Nice.
12. And we like both of those words quite a bit. The longest one that anybody came up with was inconvenienced, which is 14 letters.
Inconvenienced. That's a good one. Was that there? Inconvenienced was there?
Yeah, it was. Cool. I haven't been able to come up with anything longer than that. Can you think of anything longer than that?
I can. This introduction. This introduction is very, very long. Can we start the show?
It sounds like you're longing to talk about the week's word, C.
I am. So let's do it. It's time for the Week in Bees. This is the part of the show where we talk about the bees of the week. Today, we're talking about puzzles starting Saturday, October 7th, and ending Friday, October 13th. October 13th, Friday the 13th. Again, were you scared to do the bee today?
I was, but not because it was Friday the 13th, because every puzzle this week was super annoying for some reason or another.
You know, I agree with that. I didn't know you felt that way, too. Yeah.
I did.
So why?
Okay. First of all, let's go back to Saturday 10-7. We were still on our trip. We were leaving.
Oh, wait. I like that one. Moonlit.
Yes.
Dang.
Moonlit, which is a word I always forget, which is like the dumbest word to forget. It had Tom.
But you got it eventually.
Yeah. And you got multi-million, which
is like that.
Great.
Multi-million was a good word. Yeah.
But there were a couple of words that were missing that you complained about, I complained about, and everybody online.
You complain, I complain,
totally
everybody complains.
And
those words were?
One of those words was mullion.
Mullion.
M-U-L-L-I-O-N. which is a divider in a window.
Okay.
Did you actually know what that was? You knew the word.
I just knew the word, and I kept wanting it to be a word.
Yeah, and it is a word, and everybody online is like, this is a word. This is ridiculous.
Right.
I've never seen so many people in the hive mind like coalesce
come together
before.
Can I tell you something really quickly?
Yeah.
Did you know that beekeepers are famously not of one mind? And there's like an argument that if there are four beekeepers, you'll have five opinions.
No way.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's super interesting.
From a really amazing New Yorker article about bees that I keep wanting to talk about. But
okay,
maybe
we're
going to
talk about
sometime.
That article eventually.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But so you were sad that there was no mullein.
Yes. So in the process of looking up mullein, I found out that there is another window word that was in the puzzle that didn't count, which is
really
mutton, M-U-N-T-I-N.
Oh, and what's that?
And that is the strip that separates the panes of glass in a window. So the mullein is the thing that goes between like two windows. And then the mutton. I don't know. I keep wanting to say mutton, and that's not right. Is the thing that goes like in the window itself. Now, I thought it was really interesting that everybody was all upset about mullein, but not mutton.
Well, I never heard of mutton, but I've heard of mullein. I don't know why.
So why do you?
But
hear
I
about
knew
one
it was a word, and then I was like, "What's going on?"
I don't know. The word I was really upset about was minium,
because
which is a red lead oxide, and minium is a mineral that was used in creating miniatures. So a lot of people think that miniatures are called miniatures because they're mini, because they're little, but that's not true. They're called that because minium was used to paint them.
Ah, that's super interesting. Cool.
Yeah. So it should have been in there.
Good. You know what I was annoyed about on Sunday? No bivariant or trivariant?
I know.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why is there a variant but no bivariant? I mean, that's
you can only
bizarre.
Have one variant, Cecilia.
Yeah.
Ever.
And just to be clear, totally word, like 100% of words. It was very, I was like,
100% of words. Absolutely. And yet, errant was a word that day. A-R-R-A-N-T.
So I take it you also looked up errant to figure out what the heck
that was. I
did, because
I knew it was not the same as errant.
Right. But it is.
It's not.
But it was.
But it's not.
I don't know how much you looked. I actually thought about it for the deep dive, so I looked it up a little bit. Errant originally was errant, E-R-R-A-N-T, and they were totally used interchangeably into the 17th century.
Okay.
And then errant starts to become instead wandering itinerant,
right,
as opposed to errant. Errant with an A becomes notoriously without moderation, extreme.
Right.
We are errant knaves, all. Believe none of us. That's from Shakespeare, who seems to be the only person who talks about errant.
I think it was errant on Sam's part to include errant in the puzzle.
Yeah, it's really weird. And apparently they are still used interchangeably often. This is from Merriam-Webster. Yeah. The two spellings errant and errant were used indiscriminately into the 17th century. I already said that.
Okay.
After which errant became limited to its current meaning. Usage commentators have considered errant in the sense of errant as an error.
Right.
But the point being, like, so people did use them interchangeably. Maybe they still do. But if they do, it's an error. But it's an error because
it's errant.
Yeah. I mean, it's so
stupid.
It's
not errant. It's errant.
And also say, like, neither of them are words you use that much. So it's
really
just
errant is used a reasonable amount. I've heard that word used. I've never heard errant used.
So errant, like in behaving wrongly, yes. But it's also like traveling or given to travel, like
sense,
wandering, which was its original sense. So now it kind of means like you're erring.
Right, because you're going off
you're
the path.
Errant. But that wasn't even the original point of the whole thing.
Okay.
So,
you know what?
Yeah, it's
I
really
say
silly.
We move on to another annoying thing.
Oh, what?
Since we're going
more
in order, I'm going to do Monday 10-9.
Okay.
When there was no lignin, L-I-G-N-I-N. Now, the scientists of social media world were very upset about lignin. I was personally upset about lignin not being in the puzzle.
Personally upset.
Because my brother, who is a microbiologist, has researched and written extensively on lignin. And in fact, his lab created a biosensor that can screen for quote, lignin-busting genetic machinery encoded in samples' resident microbes.
I do have to say, like, not a real, I mean, not a word that, like, people should generally know. I understand that you wanted it because you knew and you like to talk about your brother, but I agree with it being out. Now, it is interesting that biotin is there on Friday the 13th. Right. And biotin is also, I mean, now I know biotin, I don't know lignin. And to me, biotin is a much more, you know, normal word because it's also in cosmetics and it's in egg yolk. It's something that more people know.
But lignin is the second most abundant biopolymer on Earth.
That means nothing. He doesn't count bivariate. He probably wouldn't count biopolymer. Let's talk instead about ramify, because we were talking about bywords. Do you even know what ramify means?
Well, I looked it up.
Ah, so ramify was on Thursday the 12th.
Yep.
Ramify, intransitive verb and a transitive verb. The intransitive verb is to split up into branches or constituent parts. The transitive verb is to cause to branch.
Right.
So I had no idea that ramify Yeah, and it's an offshoot of the Latin word for branch, right?
Yeah.
And then there's biramus having two branches. So anyway, so when we're talking about the bywords, it made me think.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting because obviously, you know, we know ramifications.
Right.
Right? And
well, that's what I was thinking. And I was like, is ramify some sort of verb from ramification?
Right, but it's not. I was wondering about that too.
Right.
Because
yeah,
I've never heard the word ramify used.
And that day in general, I think Thursday was a hard day, hard words, hard letters. And then, yeah, I was not real excited with the ones that counted. I thought that there was
like
you
know. A fray.
A fray is a weird word, isn't
it? It's like
it?
Errant and a fray. When you're errant, you a fray. Well,
though I kind of, I mean, a fray, fear, terror, state of alarm produced by a sudden disturbance.
Yeah, that's the, in the verb, but it also means like a fray or a brawl.
Well, I guess same idea, breach of the peace, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. I think we talked about that one actually one time, but it still kind of bugs me.
Can I talk about a word that I did like, though I thought it was also kind of goofy?
Does it start with a B?
No, that's a word I just don't like. The word that I – actually, there's a couple of those. The word that I did that I wanted to talk about was tantara. And I said
yes.
In the intro because I was so taken with it. So I see it tantara on Sunday the 8th, and I think that's a weird word.
Yes.
Like, is that like a tarantella? And I hadn't tried very hard on Sunday. I was actually didn't even look at it.
I didn't even finish it.
So then I look up tantara and it's really tantara because it's an onomatopoeic blare of a trumpet or horn.
Yes.
And it used to be even longer. It used to be tarantara, tara tantara, tara tantara.
You have to say it that way when you say it.
Oh, yeah, because it's onomatopoeic.
Like,
and apparently,
the queen entered to a tarantara. Tarantara.
But it, as I said, the Latin was tarantantara. I'm just going to keep saying it. It's so exciting.
Oh, we could name our show that. The long version of tarantara, tarantara.
That's when I said it in the intro. It's also sometimes used as a synonym of fanfare, which might also be onomatopoeic in origin, they said. And then I said I should always go fanfare, tantara, fanfare.
Speaking of words that are onomatopoeic.
Are you trying not to
not.
Get me to keep singing? Yeah, go ahead.
But not. This really isn't. I don't even know why I just made that connection, but it was another word like that, which is blotto today, Friday 10/13.
Blotto.
Blotto in, and I was like, really? That counts? That's an actual
I did too.
Word?
Go blotto. You know, blotto. Like we were all over the UK. Blotto.
Right. Like you were. The other word that I brought up was bibelo.
Oh, is that how you say it? See, I didn't even
bibelo.
Know how you say it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was not happy with bibelo. Why should I have known that word? I mean, you didn't even know that word, and you know stupid collectible crap words. But that's my point. If you didn't know that word, I mean, that word is so specific and stupid.
Did your mom know it? She knows words like that sometimes.
You know, I didn't actually ask her. She said she got queen that day, but she also gets help, so I don't know.
Yeah, we should ask her. That was 10/11, and the word is B-I-B-E-L-O-T. And even though it looks like it should be pronounced
Bibelot, which is what I thought it was.
Bibelot?
Yeah.
It's bibelot.
And define it for people.
Oh, it's a small household ornament or decorative object, a trinket.
Yeah, I don't think I should have had to know that word.
I don't think you should either.
Yeah.
I actually really don't like bibelot.
Oh, because?
I don't like little trinkets sitting around. They get dusty. They just take up space. Not a trinket fan.
I am with you, actually. You know, the other word that I didn't think I should know that day is Colette. Now, mm-hmm. I feel like we've had it before, and actually I tried Colette as in the name Colette a number of times because I had some memory of it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And a Colette is a segmented band or sleeve put around a shaft or spindle and tightened so as to grip it. And I get it. I can see mm-hmm. pictures of it, and I kind of understand that tool people might know this thing.
It's also used in jewelry.
Yes, a flange or socket for setting a gem in jewelry. Specialized to me, I don't know.
It's pretty specialized. It's just another one of these things where it's like, okay, so you include Colette, but you don't include lignin. And going back to Thursday 10-12, the thing that really annoyed me that day, see, I told you, this was an annoying week to me. Filially was in the puzzle.
Which is a word. That makes sense to me.
Totally a word. Great. Right. There was no familially.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I tried to put that word in. I was like, am I spelling it wrong? I looked it up. I spelled it again. I looked it up again.
You know what's even worse? No air fry. Why? As my mom pointed out, she air fried that day. So did I.
Exactly. Air fry should totally be a word.
And you know what else should be a word?
I'm a big fan of air frying now that I had that air fried tofu at your house.
Oh, my God. Really you good. Guys should totally get it. It's great. Yeah. It takes like 2 seconds. It's wonderful. Yeah. You don't have to turn it on an oven. It. Yeah. And nanillionth? Why no nanillionth? You know nanillion is my favorite word.
I know. In a puzzle where there is billionth. As the pangram. There's no nanillionth.
I liked billionth as a pangram, but why no nanillionth? I put it in and was like, did I spell it wrong? It's my favorite word. How could I have done this? And I put that in 14 times.
Yeah. I don't know why nanillionth was not included. Maybe Sam was blotto.
I like it. Sam was blotto. And Jen, we can continue to tootle.
Tootle from Wednesday to toot gently and repeatedly.
But I think we should wrap it up and say toodle to this segment.
Can I take us out with a tan-ta-da?
Tan-ta-da! It's
tan-ta-da!
Time for the word of the week.
This is the part of the show where we take a deep dive into one word from the previous week's puzzles. One of us chooses a word, researches it, and regales the other with our learnings. Last week, I took a fine-tooth comb to heckle. See, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so today I have a word that was really coined like pretty recently, the 40s.
Mm.
But before I tell you this word, you can guess what it is, start to think about it. I got to tell you there's another word that was coined in 1937. So two words this week, at least, that are really
on the
like
same
new.
Day?
Were they on the same day? No, sadly. Okay. But this week, come on. In 1937, the word is hobbit.
Hobbit. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's from the Lord of the Rings.
Right. Now, did you realize that like hobbit, which
I mean, it's from the Hobbit. With Hobbit, there's the Hobbit and then there's Lord of the Rings.
Right. But did you realize that it was, you know, a word that he made up, that it was not something before that?
I did. And I thought it was really strange that it was included in the puzzle because I very often get upset that he doesn't include words like Ewok and Wookiee. And even though I know that those are not real words and they're made up creatures, like, they're pretty much in our vocabulary. Everybody knows what an Ewok is. Everybody knows what a Wookiee is. Everybody knows what a Hobbit is. So why does Hobbit get special treatment?
I was wondering
that. Are you going to answer that in your deep dive?
I am not, because this isn't really my deep dive word, but I just wanted to talk. I just wanted to put out there that there's another word.
I mean,
from
me like that.
Oh, I'm just saying that there's another word that's that recent. Now, there actually were like a couple of mentions of that word Hobbit in previous times. So turned up on a very long list of folkloric supernatural creatures, 1859.
Oh,
okay. But it's like in this list of like hundreds of things, and there's no evidence that Tolkien ever saw it.
Oh.
It's like some weird thing that he probably never saw. And there's that name occurs nowhere else in folklore.
Huh. And he just arrived at it. Separately.
As far as we know. Now, there's only one other time this word was used, and it's the other reason I wanted to talk about it this week.
Okay.
And this is all from Etymology Online, by the way. It was recorded in 1835 as, quote, a term generally used in Wales to express a quantity made up of four Welsh pecks.
What? awesome. Yeah.
So now you understand why I randomly am talking about Hobbit, but there was not enough to talk about for very long. So yeah, I just had to tell
good.
You.
That's probably where he got it from.
Probably not. He probably made it up, but I thought that was pretty good.
No, but he probably, like, I imagine Tolkien, like, thinking about.
Well, that's a weight, like, though. Why would you think, like, this very heavy weight would be, like, a little guy? I don't know.
It was like a joke to himself.
I don't know. But what I am going to talk to you about is Glitch.
Glitch.
So Glitch, I was shocked to see, now maybe you knew this, is also a very new word.
And okay. it was not coined by Tolkien.
As far as I know, no.
Okay. Just making
sure. So Glitch may have come from the Yiddish glitch, meaning a slippery place. Okay. But that's not
certain.
G-L-I-T-S-H.
S-H. Okay.
Yeah. That is possible. But basically, no one ever refers to Glitch until the mid-20th century. And it was a military/space word.
Mm.
It apparently began as technical jargon among radio and television engineers, and it was popularized and given a broader meaning around 1962 by the U.S. space program. Huh. John Glenn, in his 1962 book, Into Orbit, felt the need to explain the term to his readers. And now I'm reading from Merriam-Webster. Okay. Quote, literally, a glitch is a spike or change in voltage in an electrical circuit, which takes place when the circuit suddenly has a new load put on it.
Huh.
So that is one meaning of glitch, a minor malfunction or minor problem that causes a temporary setback like a snag or a false spurious electronic signal.
Okay.
So yeah, now we use glitch to just say any kind of little problem, any kind of snag.
Like, really prevalent in our language.
I mean, basically, when they're talking about space, people start using it, and it just
into space, and then they were like, glitch, glitch.
Well, it just starts to become a word. You know,
and
like we've talked about other words.
The computer age and stuff like that. So, like, reasons why you would use that word.
Right. But, I mean, I thought that was just amazing that that was not, like, a real word until
that's really interesting.
So that's it. That's my
deep dive. That was very interesting, Cecilia. And I appreciated all of the twists and turns of that deep dive.
Well, there's so many interesting things to talk about. So.
Well, I think we should get to the next section because I actually have a word that is relevant.
Oh, okay. So the next section is unbelievable words.
Unbelievable words is just a simple, straightforward vocab lesson. No tun da da necessary.
I like tantra. Each of us presents a word we recently learned, sometimes from the bees, sometimes not, gives the definition and a sample sentence.
I'm going to go first, see? I don't know whether you wanted to, because I just said that I had a word that was related. And actually, it's related in a couple of different senses, because I said that you were, your deep dive was like twisty and turny.
Yeah.
And we also talked about ramifying and like branching.
True.
And my word sort of is related to both of those. The word is... I found it pronounced two different ways. One pronunciation is Stravag, and the other is Stravag. And I got this word.
Say these words again.
Stravag or Stravag.
And how do you spell it?
Stravaig. I got this in a Word Daily email. It's mostly Scottish, and it means to wander about aimlessly. To roam.
Hey, wait, didn't we have another one this week that was errant.
Yes, in the E, with the E.
That's
so
funny.
Stravag, I'm going to pronounce it Stravag because that's the Merriam-Webster pronunciation. An example would be, and this is from the word daily, I went stravaging about the woods behind my house and I found an old log cabin. Stravag.
Nice. All right. I like it. Well, my word, weirdly, is also Scottish in origin. As a matter of fact, it's mostly Scottish. And my word is graith. And the reason, G-R-A-I-T-H.
Mm.
And the reason I picked this word is because it came out in my typecast.
In TypeShift.
It came out in TypeShift. And, you know, I got it by accident. And then I said, oh, what is this word? Because it's spelled really, you know, Graith.
Yeah.
And then it sounds Scottish. Graith. I don't have a Scottish accent.
Graith.
Yeah. And it is to make ready and put in order.
Oh, it's sort of the opposite of Stravag.
Yes, it is. And guess what? I don't have a sentence for it because no one uses it in a sentence. So,
wait, is it? So it's a verb?
It was a transitive verb, yes.
It's a transitive verb and it is to put in order.
You would like to make a sentence for me?
I would like to make a sentence for you.
All right, we're ready.
I grace my books before I work.
Good. Yeah, that should work.
I have no idea whether that's correct or not.
Oh, actually, so then I when I looked up Graith, it said, how do you use Graith in a sentence?
Oh, and?
Okay, it's from the Fair Mind of Perth, it looks like.
Okay.
Neither, answered Harry Gow. I should but prevent your rest, and for me, this easy chair is worth a down bed, and I will sleep like a sentinel with my Graith about me. Now, that is weird, because Graith has another definition, which is possessions and wealth.
Are you sure that it means the first
thing?
It
means both things is what it says. So when I looked this up, as a transitive verb, it is to make ready and put in order. Or as a noun, it is equipment or apparel, accoutrements for work, traveling or war. And then the second definition is possessions, wealth, like Graith.
Oh, yeah. Those are all. Yeah. Okay.
But to make ready and put in order is a very different word.
Yeah. It's just a completely different word.
Weird. All right. This is why we don't use it so much.
Oh, no, wait. This makes sense. Okay. We're sort of like totally going off of what we said and we're creating
word detective.
Where there wasn't supposed to be any. But this makes sense. See, so the noun version, which is equipment or apparel, if you go down on Merriam-Webster to the origins of the word, it comes from a word that means like prepared. And I guess... you know, equipment is about preparing, like getting ready for work, travel, war.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is a connection there. I'm not sure how the possessions and wealth really fits in.
Right. Well, like you've been equipped, maybe?
Well, maybe. Well equipped.
Yeah, there we go. All right. We figured out Graith, guys. I feel a little wild, Jen. Do you feel a little wild?
I feel a little wild. You want to be more wild?
Yeah. I think we should be more wild. Here we go. Let's do the wild card. The wild card is the part of the show that no one, not even we, can predict.
That's what makes it wild. Or in the case of today's topic, wicked.
As in Friday the 13th, evil?
No, as in wicked, cool New England word.
What? Explain.
So last week we were in England and we found lots of words we didn't know.
Oh my God,
and
this is week, tortured. Yes.
I got an email from Word Genius with the subject line, 10 words only people from New England will understand. And I thought, let's see if we know these new English words.
Just point out I wanted to talk about bees, people. All right. New England we're talking about. I gotcha.
Yeah, we're talking about New England. Exactly. Right. So this is what's going to happen.
Right,
I'm going to read a word. I'm going to try not to look at the explanatory text in this article.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the word, and then we're going to try to guess what it means and then compare to see if we were right.
Now, you actually lived in New England for a little bit because you went to college there for like a second or two.
Yes,
so I
did. Do you think
like
I'm going to be better at this than you?
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. That's all I'm saying.
However, my family used to vacation in Maine every year, and we took you a couple of times.
I have to say, I remember vividly. You know, I remember very little. I vividly remember at one point getting out of a car at a gas station and having someone actually say, like, the God about, and I was just like, oh my God, what is happening? Yeah, it was the biggest, like, Boston accent. It really, like, knocked me out. Like, I just looked at him and was like, what words are you saying? And I remember the guy, I remember the place. Like, it was bizarre.
Let's see if you know the words that they're saying. Oh, the other reason that I picked this is because it's been really beautiful fall weather recently.
It has,
and
been
I always think
fall.
New England in fall. And in fact, I just opened up this article and the very first thing you see is a giant picture of fall leaves.
Oh, so, good. Which know. We have here now. It's very nice.
We do. Okay. Yeah. The first word, bubbler.
Bubbler.
Bubbler. I feel like it has to do with beer.
Or like making things happier. Bubbly.
Really?
Yeah. Bubbler. Making things better.
All right.
Yeah, more exciting.
In the rest of the country, you quench your thirst at a water fountain or a water cooler. In New England, it's a bubbler. Most likely because of the bubbling and babbling
The
sound.
Water fountain. Yep. Okay.
Oh, wait. And this says props to you if you say it with a broad Boston accent, turning the R into an ah. Bubbla.
Bubbla.
Let's stand by the bubbla. Oh, that was kind of like a Brooklyn accent that I just did.
Bubbla. Now are we going to be accused of being mean to making fun of New England accents?
No, we
too?
Are not. Great. We have. I'll make fun of Philadelphia accents all day long. Carriage. Carriage.
Is it your car?
You know, I think it might be that. I was thinking like vehicle, vehicular. All right, let's see.
Vehicular.
It is a grocery cart.
Really? Do people really say this? We need somebody. My brother lived in Boston for a long time. I got to ask him.
And they said if you hear somebody talk about a buggy, that is a grocery cart in the South.
Like a Piggly Wiggly. Okay.
All right. Clicker.
Clicker?
Oh, I'm going to totally say it's a remote.
Your TV remote? Yeah.
Yeah. That's not just New Englanders. That's like the whole world that was born before like.
I was going to say the whole world of old people. Not anymore. No one would know what a clicker is. Oh my God. You don't know what a TV is basically anymore.
Exactly. Okay. I never know how to pronounce this word and I like them. So it's disturbing to me that I never know how to pronounce it. It's either a frap or a frappe. A
frap. I call it frap.
You call it a frap? It's not ever a frappe.
I don't know. I call it frap. And is that just like icy drink?
Well, that's what I think.
I mean, that's
is.
What it is.
Yeah, like a frozen drink or like a milkshake or something.
Why do they talk about fraps?
Yeah, it's a milkshake. It's what New Englanders call a milkshake.
Because they do not understand milk.
Like, oh, it is fraps have pronounced ice. Frap.
Yeah, and fraps have ice, and milkshakes have milk. You dummy! All right. One more, Jen. We're finishing
okay,
this.
Let me find a good one. We know that one. All right. I'm going to go with, oh, and we already got Wicked, so I'm going to skip that. Leaf peepers.
Oh, the visitors who come up just to come see the leaves in the fall.
I think that's right. Do you think it's leaf peepas?
Yes, definitely. No
leaf peepas refers to tourists who come to New England to drive slow, eat donuts, and look at changing leaves through the fall season. Oh. I want to go be a leaf.
Eat donuts?
Yeah.
What does the donuts have to do with anything?
I don't know, but it's a nickname said with affection. I would like to be a leaf peeper. Can we drive up to New England?
I know. It'd be nice, but I don't understand what the donuts have to do.
You know.
Like, are they known for their donuts? And I never – oh, I mean, I guess, like, you know, Dunkin' kind of started it,
right?
Oh, yeah,
it did. Completely.
So you think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Now, Dunkin' is also all over Philadelphia, and were talking about Philadelphia accents and weird Philadelphia words. And I want to ask you if you have any that are coming to you, but I also have to say – that are you excited about the Phillies?
I am.
And their big win last night? We're talking right after they got to whatever the next round of this crap is.
I was impressed by the game where they got 6 home runs in a single game.
Is that not what they do? I don't know anything about baseball.
I don't know.
Bob was impressed by whoever the pitcher on the Braves who had these giant legs.
It's
just like, look at that guy. That guy looks like a cartoon.
I get all of my Phillies news from my dad, who is a big Phillies fan. Yeah.
I got it from Bob. I didn't even know that this was happening.
I am excited about the Phillies. And I should say, making fun of our own accent, that when we were in London, we were at a pub and somebody was like, who was an American, was like, "Where are you from Philadelphia?" We're like,
Philadelphia comes right out. So do we have words? I mean, I guess hoagie. Nobody says hoagie anywhere else, right?
Water.
No. But words like hoagie is just Philadelphia, right?
Water is
Philadelphia,
just Philadelphia.
Jersey. Yeah, but water's a word. That's just our
accent.
You mean
just
I'm talking about a
say.
Word. And what's the one that
John.
Everybody, oh, John.
John's
everybody likes to say John. Is that even a thing anymore?
Say John?
Okay.
Yeah.
J-A-W-N, I believe, people.
It's still a Philly John.
It means like
anything.
It's a thing.
It means anything.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would say it. I don't say this, but go ahead.
You used to say it.
No, I never. John was not a thing when we were kids.
Yeah, in high
That's
school,
not true.
Everybody said John.
No, I did not.
They totally
I was
did.
Too cool for John.
Yeah, right. I knew you when, remember.
Hoagie, I'm all over, but no.
Hoagies are the John.
Hoagie.
Is there any others? I know that you say I
say I, but that's not like.
That's a word.
I don't know that's a Philadelphia thing. That's just me.
I think I is a Philly thing.
Is it?
Hey, but use
but
guys.
But it's not even really a word.
Hey, use guys. It's I.
Use guys.
For the John.
Use guys. That also seems like a New York thing.
It does.
There's got to be some other words that are just filler. We're going to think about it and come back for this one.
All right. So. We're definitely going to come back to that next week.
Excellent. All right. So that's it for Tom, Tit, and Baobab Season 4, Episode 6.
Thanks so much for being with us. You belong here.
You know, Jared really got you, didn't he? We hope you'll come back next week. But until then, be in touch.
You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can also email us at tomtitandbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, and words you'd like to know about. Don't forget to tell us if you know the longest word ever to appear in The Bee.
If you like T&B and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us. If you're listening on Spotify, we also have a new feature, a weekly poll, which is a lot of fun. Last week, you all voted that C and I should go to Galapagos on our next trip.
Oh, did they? I like it. Let's plan it. Woohoo!
Oh, wait, there's one more thing.
All right, make it quick.
As you all know, we're an indie podcast. Your ratings and reviews help other word nerds and puzzle lovers discover us. So help us spread the word about T&B by leaving a rating or a review. And now you can start planning the trip, see?
Excellent. Bye, everybody.
Bye.